This is more about the name of the Lord. Jeremiah 23. Look at verse 25. I have heard what the prophets have said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies, even the prophets of the deceit of their own heart, that think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers forgat my name for Baal. Here is the determination of false prophets. I told you in other weeks the desire of the wicked concerning the name of the Lord. So here is the desire of the false prophets to cause the name of the Lord to be forgotten. That's enough for now. We'll read as we go along. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the Word of God that in time past was read to men, spoken to men, but now, our Father, it is in our hands and we can read it and now we can speak it. We are so thankful for this. It has blessed our souls. It has sustained our souls. And what we have begun to enjoy on earth, we shall enjoy in heaven forever. So, our God, let us remember concerning this scripture that says, the light bread our souls loathed. We remember that there were those on earth who loathed the manna from heaven that you gave. And there are some, our God, who also look with contempt and forget the things that are written in your word. We pray that this shall never be a description of us, but that it shall thrill our souls, that we shall be able to say with the prophet, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So, our God, let that be true concerning us. Now, there are so many things we desire to consider about this name that men are determined the cause to be forgotten. We pray that thou shalt teach us from thy word just what shall be the outcome of their determination and the things that shall truly and ultimately be so about this name. So bless us tonight. You know our sins, forgive and cleanse as you promised, and also prepare hearts and enable lips to present the ministry acceptably. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Who would think of such a thing? But it is true. Before Jeremiah wrote, it said, your fathers and the prophets that spoke to them attempted to have the people then to forget my name for the false name of Baal. And what is happening today? And you can listen to celebrities and they are trying to get us to forget the name of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to forget the name of our Savior himself, or to take the names that God has given him in his word and exchange them for other words. So this is their determination. And what we are going to do is to patiently look at other scriptures as to the determination on the other side that this name shall not be forgotten. But first, one of the saddest scriptures that God speaks to his people about forgetting in chapter 2. Turn to chapter 2 now in Jeremiah, because I'm making you read many of these scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 2. And look at verse 32. Remember now, the determined effort of false prophets was to tell lies and make God's name to be forgotten. Verse 32. Can a virgin forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Now, isn't that heartbreaking? Are you among them? Are you? How much have you remembered of the name of the Lord this day? I'm so thankful, and perhaps this is the way that God has withheld me from sinning against you. I have to stay in the Word of God every day, because when 11 o'clock comes Sunday morning and 6:30 Sunday night, I have to have something to give you. So I must look into the Word. Unless I am so remiss, I'm not even going to do that and just get up and read anything and try to deceive you that way. But I'm compelled to stay in God's Word, and I cannot remember a day in my life, morning, noon, night, at times hours, that I've been in the Word of God and God's name has not been forgotten. I'm wondering do assembly preachers ever retire? If that day ever comes, if I shall forget God's name and stop reading the Scriptures as you, or pick it up, and how many of you have been saved by the gleanings, the daily gleanings, the calendar from Grand Rapids, Michigan? But think now, is this not sad that someone else has to do your thinking for you, and thank God for the calendar and the little thought that is brought to your attention every morning? But tell me, is this not a confession of shame as to how you have forgotten the name, and others have to think of it and bring it to your attention in a poignant way? So, as God describes the condition of his people, it seems as if the false prophets that have dreamed and have spoken lies have caused God's name to be forgotten, and all the other names. And I venture to say this, that you would be more familiar with celebrities from Hollywood and television than you would some names I mentioned from God's Word. I could mention those that we all know, and you would know them. But I could mention names in the Bible, and you say, I've never heard of those things. Then perhaps there have been successful, not only false prophets, but agents of Satan, causing us to forget God's name by bringing to our attention and filling our lives with the names of insignificant and sinful men and women. And so God is saying this, can a bride, and this is the question that is asked, and all of you ladies think of this, can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? In other words, there are certain things common to the flesh, things that you wear, your garments, a bride, all this getting ready for a marriage. It says, can they forget those things? You say no. A man was invited by me to enter into fellowship, enjoy the things of God. But he said, no. He said, I can't do it because my daughter is getting ready. Her wedding is to soon occur, and I must stay and get ready for the wedding. Now think of this. Here is the attire. Here are the ornaments. All of these things must be attended to. But the name of God, God says, my people have forgotten me days without number. So it may seem as if these false prophets that spoke in Jeremiah's day, and God's agents, the false apostles, the false agents of God, it would seem as if they had been successful in causing us to forget his name today. But I'm going to let us read others and their testimony, in spite of the determined effort by the enemies of God and the false prophets of God to cause his name to be forgotten. So now turn to Psalm 44. There is a determined effort on two sides, and I trust that after the night at least, you are going to be on the other side, a determined effort to remember the name of God. Now, look in Psalm 44 at verse 13. Here are things that happen to the people of God. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scoffing and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the nations, a shaking of the head among the peoples. All the day long is my dishonor before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. Now, look at verse 17. All this is come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Thank God, he still has 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So many of us, when all is going well, we like to talk about the name of the Lord. But you may read this psalm, and you will discover all the hard things coming upon these people. And yet they say, all this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee. We have not been false to thy covenant. Now, look down at verse 20. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or spread forth our hands to a strange God, will not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Do you think that God is unaware when you slip by one day, 2 days? It says days without number, all of these days. It says, do you think that God is unaware of this? He is the one who numbers the days. Isn't that sad? It is just like one that has had promises made of love and devotion, and then this loved one waits for a letter telling of that love, expressing that love, but it never comes. And God says, my people have forgotten me days without number, but thank God, these in Psalm 44 say, if we have forgotten thee, the name of our God, it says, will not God search this out? Now, turn to Psalm 137, Psalm 137, because these are the ones after whom we should pattern our lives. Here are people in captivity by the rivers of Babylon, 137:1. There we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Now, look at verse 5. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand lose her cunning. Let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I remember thee not, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. You see, at that time, before they had the Lord Jesus Christ, they were determined to remember all that they had. And the determination was this, let my right hand lose its cunning. Let the tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. And so thank God, while there is a determined effort to make people forget the name of the Lord, there is just as much a determined effort on the other side to never forget the name of the Lord, to remember the name of the Lord, no matter what comes upon us. And I've been telling you in the mornings that in the last days, grievous, perilous times shall come, and because iniquity shall be multiplied, the love of the many shall grow cold. But the psalmist says, I am in captivity. I have been taken captive because of the disobedience of the children of Israel. And the others say, all of these tribulations have come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee or been false to thy covenant. Those are the men and women of God that should be our examples. Those who have never forgotten the name. But will you remember that there is a determined effort to cause you to forget the name of the Lord, to remember the name of other gods, to take away from the grandeur, from the glorious things spoken concerning the name of God. And it has been successful, and God's name is forgotten days without number. But this is what happens to those who do not forget the name. Turn to Psalm 8 now. Psalm 8. I will not have you turn to all of these scriptures, but at least I will tell you what they say. In Psalm 8, look at verse 1. Some trying to make us forget the name of God, remember the name of Baal, but listen to this. It says in verse 1, O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. That is beautiful. While those are trying to make us remember the name of Baal, there are others who say, O God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Not a false god, but an excellent name. The name of a God who created the heavens and the earth. And these are the other descriptions of the name of God. It says here, how excellent is thy name. It says, how glorious is thy name. How great is thy name. It says, holy and reverend is thy name. Do you see what I've done? I've given you a description of the name of God in the mouth of the psalmist. Those that have thought on the name of God and said, your name is excellent, your name is glorious, your name is great, your name is holy, your name is reverent. Now, tell me, what descriptions of the name of God are upon your lips? They're those that have the highest concept of the name of God, and they describe it in the words of the Psalms. But it's more than that. The step further is this. Look at Psalm 7 now. Psalm 7, verse 17. It says, I will give thanks unto the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise in the name of the Lord Most High. You realize that there is something above praise with words, the name of God? It is when the name of God and those words are so thrilling to our soul that we are not satisfied with speaking those words. Those words must be set to musical notes, and that is the glory of man. That he can intelligently take words and then set them to music, and God is praised not only in words, which is a wonderful thing, but God is praised in words set to music. And this is what the psalmist says. He said, I will give thanks unto the Lord according to thy righteousness, and will sing praise in the name of the Most High God. Now, look at Psalm 9. I'm going to let us see some of this singing. Psalm 9, verse 2. I will be glad and exult in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou Most High. Now, turn to Psalm 61. 61. Because when the name of God is upon our hearts, this is what happens. In Psalm 61, let's look at verse 8. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. So here is a man that is singing praises unto the name of God, that he may perform his vows. Now, Psalm 66. Psalm 66. And listen to this. It says, sing forth the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Verse 4. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. This is what God says eventually shall happen. There are those who are trying to cause the name of God to be forgotten, but in spite of that, they are the faithful ones who think of God's name and they say his name is excellent. It's glorious, it is great, it is holy, it is reverent. And they say, that name is so impressive that we're going to take the glorious things about that name and we're going to set them to music, and they sing day and night, but more than that. Now, turn to Psalm 100, Psalm 143. No, 149, verse 3. Psalm 149, verse 3. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with timbrel and harp. Now, let me show you what we have. Here you have a person using his mouth to praise God. Here you have a person using his feet to praise God. Here you have a person using his hands to praise God. Therefore, my physical being, as well as my inner being, is taken up with praising God. Then I can praise God with musical instruments. I can praise God with my voice, and if you are able to do it worshipfully and excellently, you may come and praise God with the dance. But beware when you do something like that. Yet, it can be done. So, with my whole physical being, I can praise God. My feet, my hands, my lips, all of these things are expressions of what is in me. And beware if we criticize those who praise God in a physical way, because that's what Michael did when she saw David leaping and praising his God. She said, "Oh, how glorious was my Lord today." And David said, "I was doing this for the glory of God." So, yes, I think that many times it is a manifestation of the flesh rather than a manifestation of the true worship of the heart. But there is such a thing as praising God, as I read to you, with the harp and with the timbrel and with the voice and with the feet. You say, "Well, then all of my being is to praise God." Why, yes, that's what the Lord Jesus said was the first and great commandment. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength." And the strength includes the physical part. My mind, that's inward. My heart, my soul, my spirit, my strength, yes. Well, then all my being is to be occupied with praising the name of God. That is what is so thrilling. All right. Now that we have learned about the determination of the wicked to blot out the name of God and have considered the determination of the righteous to extol that name, to praise that name in every conceivable way, I want us to look just briefly at a concept of that name that we'll find in Psalm 45. Turn to Psalm 45. I'll quote you the other, but I want you to read this. We know that it refers to the Lord Jesus because of what is found in Hebrews 1. It says in verse 6, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of equity is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces stringed instruments have made thee glad." Now, this is to be joined with the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. It says, "Thy name is as ointment poured forth." Now, think. Here is the name of God. And the name of God and His Son are excellent, glorious, great, holy, reverend. We put it to song, but then that is one of our abilities. But in what other way is the name of God? The name of God is as ointment poured forth. Therefore, it is not only something that works upon us inwardly, but it works upon our physical senses, and it's like something fragrant. I've never been in a room when an alabaster box of ointment was broken and bestowed upon the Savior, but you remember that more times than one it was done in the New Testament. And when that happened, John remembers, he said, the room was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, when that happened, here is our Savior. And when that ointment was opened and its fragrance filled the room, what the psalmist says and what the lover in the Song of Solomon says is, "Thy name is as ointment poured forth." And it says concerning Christ, "All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia." Think now. Here is our Savior described in his outward behavior before men as having garments that smell of precious ointment, myrrh, aloes, and cassia. Because when it says for us to put off the old and put on the new, that is our behavior. And I'm wondering what odor is carried by us as we walk through society. But here, this one that is extolled so highly, when he walked through society, there was a fragrance about him that was disseminated among the people with whom he associated. And this one here is described as all thy garments, all the outward behavior, if we are breaking it down to something literal, all of it smells pleasant. It's delightful to fill the nostrils of those with whom this person is associated. And for that reason, I will just tell you this in the briefest possible way. The very word in the Song of Solomon, it said, thy name is as ointment poured forth. The word ointment is the word oil, and it is given in its description in Exodus chapter 30. There is an anointing oil. It is a perfume, and it's put together by the art of the apothecary, by the art of a perfumer who is able to take all of these ingredients and mix them, and these are the ingredients. I'll tell you what they are and then their mouth. It says, flowing myrrh, sweet cinnamon, sweet cassia, and calamus. So here we have these four ingredients. We have flowing myrrh, 500 shekels. Sweet cinnamon, half so much, 250 shekels. Sweet calamus, 250 shekels. And it says cassia, 500 shekels as well. Now, with this was to be joined a hin of oil. So we have these ingredients. We have the flowing myrrh, the sweet cinnamon, the sweet calamus, and the cassia, all of these in prescribed amounts, and they are united with a hin of oil, which means about a gallon and a half of oil. So here is the smell that constantly filled the nostrils of those that frequented the tabernacle, because after this anointing oil was made, the tabernacle was anointed. And not only so, but the priest, the high priest and his sons, they were anointed. Therefore, there was a distinctive odor when you went to the tabernacle. If you were bringing a burnt offering or a peace offering to the Lord, there would be that fragrance as the priest came up to you. There would be the odor of ointment poured forth. There would be this distinctive odor, and God said, no one else is to make up this perfume according to its proportions. Only the priest and the priest shall smell like it. Now think of that. Here is the world trying to imitate the odor and behavior of Christians, but God forbids it. It must be real. I told you this morning that there are some who are outward believers, but the Lord Jesus knows if they are workers of iniquity. But Christ, the high priest, and all the priests associated with him, they have a distinctive odor about their environment and about their garments. And when anyone came to offer a sacrifice, they would never forget that odor. I've been into some oriental places, and I've smelled incense burning. Now, had I gone as an Israelite to offer a sacrifice, then when Aaron or one of his sons came up to assist me at the altar, I would have smelled the fragrance of his garments, and if the wind were blowing through the tabernacle, I would have smelled the fragrance of that oil, that anointing oil, because it was there. Just this. If you look and try to determine the spiritual significance of this anointing oil from its ingredients, the flowing myrrh, the cinnamon, the cassia, the calamus, if you try to find out about it, inasmuch as I cannot tell you definitively exactly what it means, I can tell you something about it. It has these thoughts: bitterness, uprightness, and bowed downness. You say, how is that? The word myrrh is the word that Naomi uses concerning herself when she went out full and she came back empty. They say, here comes Naomi. She said, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Listen, Mara, myrrh. That's the very word in the Hebrew. It means bitterness. Why? Think of all the bitterness that filled her life. Her husband died, and then her sons died, and now she's left with Ruth. She says, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, call me bitterness. And this is the very word that is used concerning the herbs that must be eaten when the Passover is partaken of. The lamb, yes, but you eat it with bitter herbs, the same root word. So you think of the bitterness experienced in Naomi's life, and you think of the bitterness of the experience of slavery in the lives of the Israelites before they were redeemed by power and by blood. And God says, you eat those bitter herbs every time you eat of that lamb. And now, need I tell you that there was one who experienced a bitterness far greater than Naomi and far greater than all the children of Israel when he took that cup that his father had given him and drank it. And that was the bitterest moment in his life. And it says that his garments smell of myrrh, 500 shekels, as much as any other ingredient. There was bitterness. Is he not the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? But at the same time, whereas myrrh is bitter, I know something about cinnamon. I know nothing about these other spices, but I know that cinnamon is a pleasant thing. It's pleasant to smell. It's pleasant in food. And it says there was sweet cinnamon, and some people forget this. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus was not only a man of sorrows acquainted with grief, but it says this also, that God has anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. You say, well, there was more bitterness in his life than others, yes, and there was more gladness. He was anointed with the oil, you remember that hint of oil? The oil of gladness above his fellows. And the two words concerning the sweet cinnamon and the other spice, uprightness. And so you cannot help but think of Christ in his uprightness as well as he experienced the bitterness and the gladness in his life. Nothing caused him to be anything but upright. And the last thing, it means to bow down, to be shriveled. And you cannot help but think of our Savior, who was just. It says, for Christ also at once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And if uprightness is righteousness, then the being bowed down is the Lord Jesus, when he was made lower than the angels, when he was made sin for us. And I just suggest this devotionally to you. But it says, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, and the name of the Savior is as ointment poured forth. So this is what God is telling us about the name of the Savior. His name shall never be forgotten. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And by God's grace, let you and let me be among those who are determined that his name shall be fragrant and beautiful and exalted in the world. That's enough. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that indeed there is no one else that has the fragrance of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We've seen charlatans. We've seen the imitation, men trying to act like that. But our Father, it's like a dead fly in the ointment. We are thankful, our Father, that only Christ and his followers can truly have that fragrance. And our God, we are thankful that thy Spirit is he who in our lives can bring forth that fragrance as well. So may all of our garments indeed have that odor that is pleasant to men as we are among them. And help us to be determined, our Father, never forget thy name. If we have forgotten thy name one day, have mercy upon us and forgive us. Father, if you look upon us and have to say, you have forgotten my name days without number, O God, how can we confess such a sin? But help us from this day forward never to forget the name, to glorify the name, have the concepts described it fill our hearts, a glorious name, an excellent name, a holy and a reverend name. May all of those things fill our souls, and may we remember that that name is the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.